Okay. And welcome to another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers. This is Alexis Ray. I am so excited today to have with me the amazing, the one and only Sarah. And I'm going to let her tell you why she's the amazing one and only Sarah. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alexis. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you could make it. You have a very unique range of talents, and I would like very much for you to tell the listeners what that is, because it's not like anybody else. It's really special.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for asking. Yes. Well, I've spent the last 38 years surviving through a difficult childhood, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of instability. And I believe that what got me through it and to where I am now is somehow this ability to keep myself intact. And what's happened because of that is I've picked up an endless list of treasures and downloads that have empowered me to unapologetically be myself and just grow this passion to share as much of that as possible with anyone and everyone that I come across.
Okay, so tell me what that actually looks like. What is it that you actually do, and who do you do it for?
Well, the iteration that's taking form into right now is a highly personalized home design service.
Oh, and, wow, yeah, that sounds cool. So wait a minute, let me back you up a little bit. Okay, sure. You just told me a bit about your personal history, that you've been through a lot, and as a result of you being through a lot, bridge the gap, how that shows up in your home design service?
Sure. Well, what my personal home, what my home looks like, yeah, is a very accurate representation or mirror of who I am. To continue to follow that thread, what that looks like is me taking responsibility and control over my surroundings in a way that will allow me and support me to reach the goals that I want, to have the success that I want in life. To continue to follow that thread even further, what that looks like is setting up my home in a way that will allow me to move through the daily basic functions that are unavoidable for anybody from the time you wake up to the time you lay your head on your pillow. Some examples of that would be your morning ritual. For myself, and like many people, the first ritual before I do anything, before I walk to the washroom, before I eat, is my coffee. So just the littlest things that you can do to set yourself up for that little baby success, for that gorgeous success in the morning. I bought myself a coffee machine that has a timer on it. So after dinner, I put the fresh water in, I put the coffee grounds in, and a little side note from there is I do this about 2 hours before I go to sleep, because if I do it right before I go to bed, just the smell of the coffee will wake me up, and that's not what I want before I go to sleep.
Right.
And that is really the fine nitty gritty details that what I do creates. So then when I wake up in the morning, I can zombie walk to the coffee machine. Okay. I have the cup set up right there, and I reach and I pour my coffee and I lean against the counter and I drink my coffee. And it's a very fluid movement. There isn't a single wasted step. It's very efficient. And what that does is it sets me up for a good mood to move through my day with, that feeling of success.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. So there's...
Does that then translate over to what you do for other people?
Exactly. So what I'm spending time with... Yeah. So I am a people person. I love all the humans on the planet, and I want them all to be their best self. A skill that I have is this ability to draw a person out through conversation, through professional observation in this setting, through coming into somebody's home with a great feeling of sacred respect, because that's their territory.
Yeah.
And what this allows me to do is to notice those little things about the person. Notice their body language. How are they standing in different rooms in their home? How's their face looking? if they're in the kitchen and there's a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink, that might be affecting, you know, how they're standing in their body language. Where do they look relaxed? Is that in their living room? Does the living room happen to have certain colors? Does it seem to have a theme? And how might that overlap with the person's personality? So what that then can lead to regarding the service is applying all of that to mirror to somebody their best self, their favorite things about themselves. So yeah, those are kind of two levels.
How does that change a person? How does that impact a person? I mean, we've all heard about how, you know, directing your feng shui directions or facing mm-hmm. right ways or whatever can make an impact mm-hmm. on some sort of level somehow that matters. Mm-hmm. What have you seen? What have you seen that makes your work so rewarding?
I've seen people be able to step off that curb. You know, if somebody wants to, let's say somebody's job hunting. We all know how that can be. You know how it is when you're job hunting.
And
that can
be a job.
It's a job. It can be draining, exhausting. Yeah. It can also take a toll on self-esteem and how you feel about yourself.
Sure.
So then we can kind of deconstruct that back to the two elements of this service and what I do, which is the function, the practicality, and then the human side of it. So when you are doing things like that, all of the tasks, creating your resume, taking that time, the discipline, getting out the door, punctuality, when we have things set up in your home that allows you to move as efficiently as possible, that saves you time. That when we set up your home in a way that can create almost compartments or stations that allow a person to focus when there's that just setting insinuated.
What does that mean? Insinuated setting. What does that mean?
Well, if you have a desk in a room, I believe that insinuates that that's a room where you get work done.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that might be a room that we don't want to have clutter in. We wouldn't want to have distracting objects in. There's this practicality, and that's something that ritual of the coffee in the morning would really help facilitate. So that's very ergonomic. You know, the seconds that add up, the getting you out the door on time, that feeling of being together. You know how it is when you leave the house and you have to stop and turn around and go upstairs because you forgot your notebook or even your phone. Losing these big, important objects in life doesn't feel good.
It's an epic waste of time,
it's
too.
It's an epic waste of time, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you help people with that? Get them like a checklist? I'm looking at my wall, like, do I put key hooks up there?
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. The really brute function of things. Yes. Giving things a designated place. And that is actually what I did about 4 months ago. I overhauled my home in a way that I had never done before. It was epic. And the reason I did this was because I was losing things right and left. So many times every day that I can't even count. I couldn't even put a number on it. Very important things. Phone, the remote to the TV, my keys. Very important things. Yeah. So what I did was so simple. I just rooted around my house and I found things that I could use as containers, placeholders. And I created a home for that placeholder to live. And if I picked up the remote to turn the TV on or change the channel, that remote went right back into that compartment in that exact place every time. I hung a nail in the wall. And none of this was fancy to begin with.
Yeah.
What needs to happen is the action. I had a hammer. I had a nail. I wanted it now, so I did it.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
That's it's such an easy way to have that initial, again, step off that curb, that initial taking action and responsibility.
Okay. I've seen that, like, for instance, in computers, I had a boss once who said he just couldn't possibly keep track of the subfolders.
Mm-hmm.
He needed a map.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the big one, then all these other ones are buried. Yes. And I understood that, because yes, what was intuitive to him might not be intuitive to the person who organized that computer, which was me.
Yes, exactly.
It was very hard for me to organize something for the way his brain worked. Mm,
I hear what you're saying. Well, to answer that question further, what I actually do is I spend time with the person. There's a lot of conversation, and again, a lot of professional observation.
Yeah.
And this is a very collaborative event. Yeah. We go through every item in their house together. And it is very much like mapping out a person's life, mapping out what's going to mirror to them the successes that they have had leading up to this point, to remind them of how awesome they are. Yeah.
Well, you have to be able to work within their thought style. It's a word.
Yes.
I made up that word.
Thought style. Yeah, a lot of empathy, non-judgment.
But I got to ask you this.
Sure.
I get it that you're a people person and you do make people comfortable right away, and that's great. How do you work with a mind that is disorganized? How, I mean, because you suddenly had to bring attention to putting keys in a bin or on a hook, mm-hmm, or that it, you had to do these things. I mean, I it's so easy to set something down, especially as an entrepreneur, you know, just like running around, like, I don't have time to do those dishes still. You know, so those can sit there, and the rest of it, you know, it's like drop and go, you know, just
exactly
constant hustle, you know. Are people open to, because basically what you're doing is creating some routine of putting away. Mm-hmm. So there's the flow part, right? So it sounds like they could benefit from that. But I know you do something else. And I know that you love to take what already is existing in someone's, mm-hmm, environment and, mm-hmm, making that, go ahead, fill in the blank, you're on.
Okay. Well, to begin with, asking a person questions, beginning with a question rather than input.
Yeah.
If I can have them bring out the idea themselves instead of me pointing it out, it gives them this feeling of self-identification. And if we do something, and I was able to mold the conversation in a way that they could own part of it, then when the successes and the benefits start to show themselves, for example, if they start getting out of the door on time, the reward of that responsibility just makes somebody feel 10 feet tall.
Yes.
So asking very open questions and really letting the person have these moments of self-realization.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about the decor part.
Sure. Well, color is a very big thing for me. As many of us know, colors have different vibrations. And so when we need to adjust the heart, the feeling, the energy, color is a really effective way to execute that, to make it happen. So again, through a lot of observation, I can notice what's going on in their closet. What kind of clothes are hanging up? What kind of clothes are stuffed away in the suitcase? Little details like, are there magnets on the fridge? Are they whimsical? Or are they magnets that are basically advertisements for the refrigerator repair man? You know.
Wait a minute. Let's pick up on that magnet thing. So what does one versus the other say? What does that do?
Well, this is the way I love to.
Oh, I had no idea. This is good. You guys sit down, take notes. This is a revealing moment. No idea. Well, I better change my magnets before you come over.
Hey. This could be a personality test just based on the front of your refrigerator.
I think it's actually there. Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear what you got to say about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a very eclectic person. So there's a lot of color on my refrigerator.
Yeah.
There's one that's my favorite that says, I don't want to talk about it. Taco, like the food. That's a good one, right?
That would make me hungry all the time. But anyway, yeah. Guys. So what does it tell you when somebody's got colorful versus whatever? Should it be changed? Should it be kept? Do you have to line them up? Like what? This is a minute example, and I know
it truly is.
You brought it up, so
yes, I did. Well, I mean, if the refrigerator is a mess, then they could probably use some organization. So perhaps we could organize these thoughts into what are the magnets holding up? That might represent what does their life look like? What does the organization or chaos look like in their life? And then what are the magnets that are holding those things up look like? So does this person like color? Or does this person, this is funny to me, we're talking about magnets. If the magnets are like those free magnets you get from like the counter at a store.
Yeah.
Then maybe that person actually needs a little whimsy in their life, a little delight when you're doing something that could like cooking or cleaning in the kitchen that can feel like such a bummer and like a burden. Little details like that can just perk up an experience.
So that you're saying that they need like more creative decoration maybe that the magnets are doing?
I do. I think that if you paint a door with an image that you love, you want to open that door. You want to interact with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yeah, with the decor, it's like a different side of this map. So we have the map where we can map out a person's rituals and routines and habits. And then we can have a map that draws them from room to room, from those tasks that create the feelings as they move through them. So where we would need to create a little healing or a little motivation or a little peace, we can add things like color and texture that make them more welcoming and enticing. Yeah.
It's because got a knack for it. You do obviously for decorating and color and design, but there's a lot of people who don't.
Right.
And I would imagine that there's, you know, like I couldn't draw beyond a stick figure. I just can't do art. That's not my thing. Right. I admire somebody who can, I appreciate it. You know, some graphic artist just changed my life. I feel like I got a new wardrobe based on what she did for me.
Mm-hmm.
True story. So I would imagine that tell me, I won't put it in your mouth. Who is your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody who doesn't realize how wonderful they are.
Wait a minute. Sorry, sure. I didn't mean to cut you off, but
go ahead.
Help me out here. How do we go from a guy, mm-hmm. disorganized as heck, is piles, whatever. He's got a great job. Maybe he works in tech, you know, IT, whatever, something like that. Comes home, plops down, watches TV, orders dinner. He's done. That's it. He doesn't have a self-esteem problem necessarily. He just doesn't have any decorating sense, and he doesn't have a girlfriend. He works a lot. He's got a dog, maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. But let's take that scenario.
Sure.
And address that. How do you help somebody like that? Because I believe there's a lot of people like that now.
Yeah, I believe that too. Well, we can help him understand what a woman likes.
Oh.
And we can share stories with him about how women who have distracting objects in their house don't sleep as well. That a woman appreciates a man who knows what he likes and can express that. So that can speak to a man's ability to express himself. And we all know that as women, we like that communication style.
Mm, and true.
We pick up on the unspoken.
There's multiple choice kind of things when like OkCupid or whatever. And one of the questions that I just find so hard to answer, because sometimes I always look at those pile of dishes. Everything else in my house looks amazing. The freaking dishes just won't do themselves. But there's this question that says, can you date somebody who's messy? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, what level? What are we talking about for messy? Are we talking like they don't floss their teeth? Are we talking, because that's nasty? Or are we talking like, you know, so let's go back to this IT guy. And he just does, you know, he works in computers. He's extremely left-brained. He's creative in the computer software programming that he does. But when it comes to color, he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know what to do. So how do you help? And what would be the results of something like that? Because there's so many people that are like that. They don't have the creativity.
Yeah. I think that one thing that's really effective is really going through a lot of objects in this guy's house that can be brought out and displayed in artistic ways. So we're showing his strengths. This is, you know, what he does for a living. And, you know, men want to feel confident. And so if we can bring those things out and display them to show that he's proud of everything he's accomplished in his life and in his success, past and present, and where he's going in the future.
Yes. Yeah. As they say on the Fab Five. Yes, girl.
Yes, queen. I love it.
Yes. So this isn't necessarily a guy who has an issue. His only issue is that he doesn't know how to decorate, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't know how to make something appealing. Not everybody's Martha Stewart, you know?
Right.
They're just not. Yeah.
So placement can be a really key thing with a person like this, with a guy like this. And then little things that we can add in, like little fairy lights. You know, lighting is something that we can use to bring attention. So if it feels like this person might be lacking, if we're struggling to find the things that he can bring out, well, maybe we can focus on just the one or two things that we can find and then add a layer to those things. So let's embellish what we have if there's not really a lot to choose from. And lighting is a great way to do that.
It sure is. And, you know, color is as well. My personal experience, Sarah, is that I went, I had one of those cheap bed in a bag things that I got. And I say cheap because it was inexpensive. Probably got it like Big Lots or whatever. But I never was crazy about it. And it was that fiber fill stuff. So it doesn't breathe. So sleeping wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the print, like all of it, like it impacted my mood.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. I relate. And I really appreciate you saying that, because that does bring out another aspect that we can bring to this. So for a guy who perhaps works in IT or a job like that, where it's very left-brained, another thing we can focus on is the comfort. What kind of bed sheets does he have? His self-care. What kind of products does he have in the bathroom?
So you go there. You go way beyond moving the sofa and hanging a key ring.
Yeah, we can lead it into comfort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And self-care, apparently.
Yeah, which is a really welcoming environment to bring a woman home to. If you have a few pillows on the couch, and if you have a little blanket over the couch. And again, that might be something that they have in the closet. We can look for things that are heirlooms to a person, and that doesn't have a monetary value attached to it. If there's salt and pepper shakers that happen to belong to their grandmother, and those are placed out with some intentional position, and they're not just like haphazardly on the counter, proximity to things. If they have a blanket that somebody knitted for them, and having that over the couch. So these little heart-centered objects. And again, so then that comes back to a lot of conversation and questions, gentle questioning. to really discover if there's any meaning in any of these objects, which can then lead to some nice conversation when you bring a guest home.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Rather than it just being a place to sleep and shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of guys might not realize that these things are, they know they're special to them, but they can be special to other people too.
Oh, well said.
When you can express that you have that sentimentality, that's quite endearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually is. If you were to bring somebody over, it's definitely more interesting than, I mean, I've been to homes where there wasn't anything on the walls. It's like, did you just move in or you just, are you leaving? Like you've got that leaving look. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just not to talk about myself, but I'll tell you something. I went to Big Lots and I changed that bed in a bag thing. And I have something now that every time I walk by my bedroom, I look at it and it makes me happy.
Yes.
That's the impact of a completely different look. It's amazing. And just to add to, you know, to sort of bolster what you do, Sarah, which is so cool, is that, it really is. Because we know not what we know not, you know? And unless somebody comes along and says, hey, you actually look really good in white, or turquoise, not black all the time, you won't know. So you know, having someone come along and say, I can help you freshen this up a bit is really super valuable.
Yeah, thank you. I love it.
That's so cool. Look, I can tell you do by your smile. So ideally, aside from the guy who doesn't have a lot of creativity, do you ever work with couples? Do you work mostly with singles? Like, who's your ideal client?
It's hard to say if I have an ideal client because I love sussing out individuals. A one-on-one relationship with a client is so rewarding. But it is an interesting segue into a couple because then you have two people sharing a space. So we need to balance the individual with the couple.
Right.
So then we're going to have to, it's a little bit more strategy.
Yeah.
And finding spaces where the one person, each person can have this kind of their territory.
Yeah.
And then having the designated spaces that are set up for two.
Yeah.
To spend time with. So having those boundaries can really, I think, contribute to the health of a relationship.
Nice. So you work with both to...
Absolutely.
Oh boy, that'd be a challenge. Now, do you need to work locally? Like, you have to walk in the door kind of thing? Or can you advise people on the phone? Like, how do you work? How does it actually work to work with you?
Well, where it can begin is with a strategy call. I offer a 15-minute to half-hour strategy call where I can ask some questions. The client just has an open opportunity to vent if they need to, decompress, release some of that pressure. And from there, we can discuss if they are local, then that is a home I can travel to in person. If they're across the state or on the other side of the country, then we can absolutely do a virtual service. Absolutely.
Oh. That's cool. So they would just like walk around and go, okay, Sarah, here's this.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And that's interesting too, because then there's this unique benefit to that because I'm not there. I'm not there doing the lifting. I'm not there doing the sorting. I'm not there emptying out the horrendous closet. They're doing that. Oof. That's a job. Yeah. They're the ones sweating and getting dirty. That's a very empowering experience when you have that physical aspect of it where you are applying your strength and your endurance and your determination.
I know, dude. It took me 14 hours to do my own closet. Like, okay, I'm in the promotional products business as well. So granted, I have thousands of items and it was just, you know, catalogs and stacked. I was just like, close the door. And, you know, it took a long, long time to get it all out. And I just want to throw this in there is that when we organize the whole closet, guys, it always looks worse before it looks better.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've got to pull all this crap out and then and then assess it. Would you be willing to like be like with somebody while they're trying to figure this out?
100%. Oh, I love digging into a good pile. Love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
It is truly one of my greatest joys in life.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I'll tell you, because I keep thinking back to the guy that I knew that had both Asperger's and ADD, and he would just like, freeze up and couldn't handle the concept of putting things. He was the computer and folders guy. Could not handle it. Could not do it. You know, yeah. So things ultimately had to be like totally in front of him. And I would love to know your opinion about this. Basically, if it's not in front of us, some people feel like, I don't floss because I don't have the floss on the counter. Well, I floss because my father said only floss the teeth you want to keep. And I remember that when I'm laying in bed at night. I'm like, damn it, I got to get up.
Yeah.
Damn it. But if it, you know, there was a lot of comments in this particular video I was watching just the other day. They're like, yeah, if it's not right in front of me, I'm not going to do it. I don't remember it. So how does a person handle that stuff that's, you know, packed away and do they keep it or do they display it or, you know, what's the fine line, do you know, even between a pack rat and a sentimental bloke, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. Well, I think it can be a matter of priority. Prioritizing 2 to 3 top things that you would like to address. So when we're sorting through these things, decide what's most important to you, and the rest can stay in the closet. And what I can do as we go through that is offer some reassurance that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. So helping someone prioritize through, you know, what's more important? Do you need to access your creativity or do you need to floss? You know, and is there room on that list for both of those things? So starting with 2 to 3 things at a time.
That's cool.
Because you know how it feels when life has transitions and that's really unavoidable. It can be someone like myself, who I feel like I transition like once a week sometimes in life. Someone might transition like every 6 months or whatever the time frame is. But those 2 to 3 things don't always have to be the same. It's okay for it to be fluid.
So when you say you transition every 2 to 3 months, and I know you're smiling, for those of you who don't have video, she's laughing now. What does that actually mean? So, because yeah. Life is in flux. People mm-hmm. are now changing careers, you know, mm-hmm. multiple times in a lifetime. Where does that piece you just mentioned actually fall in?
Well, a way I can relate it to my own personal experience that I can speak to with great authority is... As a single parent, I live in this relatively small but lovely one-bedroom apartment, and I share this space with my 5-year-old son. My son, Hunter, is very much like me. He's very expressive. He's very strong-willed. And sometimes we can lock horns a little bit, and what I believe is helpful to us is boundaries. So the overhaul that I literally did last night was flipping the living room with the bedroom and giving, I sacrificed a whole room to this child so that he can leave his toys out as much as he wants. Side note, we are in a little growing pain with his development. I'm working with him on taking responsibility. And one of my philosophies as a parent is to sometimes let your child learn for themselves. So if he's not taking care of his belongings as well as he should, then he'll have the consequences of that.
So tell me what that looks like when a person walks in the front door, Sarah. Are they looking at your living room? Are they looking at your bedroom? When you say you flip the two rooms, What does that mean? What happened?
Well, what the rooms were before was I had actually flipped the bedroom with the living room. So I created a den in the bedroom, which is a smaller room. And then I made this living room a big giant bedroom, because what I felt like I needed was room when I was relaxing. I needed actual physical space so that I could relax. And also at that time, my relationship with my son was very harmonious. And we were both really thriving in sharing this space. And then having that den allowed me to be in a smaller room where I had my focus items. Then my son decided to start to cover the floor in all of his toys and blocks. And that didn't last long. It lasted about a week before I was like, this is not working. So I moved his bed into the other room. Every single one of his toys is in that room. And then I have my lovely little studio in the living room.
Got it. Got it.
So I usually try to create one room for each of us and then a joint room. So to answer your question about what do I see first when I walk into my house, what I see first is the kitchen. What I did last night was I created the kitchen I turned it into a space that felt peaceful and clean and non-cluttered. So now when we share that space, we can have that peace. So we have the boundaries and we have the peace that we need. And that's to go back even further with the insinuation of where things are placed.
Yeah.
The kitchen strongly insinuates that this is a peace room.
Ah.
So that's the first thing that I walk into when I come home.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So how is that? Well, you just did it last night, so it'd be hard to say how it's impacted your world.
I would say it already has. One of my favorite parts of an overhaul is the morning after. It's remarkable how that overnight transition after doing all that work and then going to sleep and waking up to it. I woke up feeling more amazing than I have in a couple of weeks. So the benefits are quite quick.
Yeah, right. Immediately. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Off camera, you and I have spoken about how you would be able to help others who, like you, get sort of antsy or, hey, somewhat slightly nicely addicted to some creative changes with color. And possibly even switching out the bed covers or the bathroom look. I ran into a couple the other day at Big Lots, and she was buying this gorgeous slate gray, blue gray set. And I was like, oh my God, I love it. She said, yeah, I got to do this about every 2 or 3 months. And her boyfriend stood back and he goes, yeah, she sure does.
Yeah.
Because that's what they, you know, that she needs that change.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to help somebody who, I mean, once you get them squared away, what if they go, yeah, are you able to help them because they weren't creative before? Now all of a sudden they got bit by the bug and went, oh, I'm getting a lot of good feedback on this. What else you got, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. One of the recent things that I've come up with is something that I call the Spiffy Kit. And this is a kit that I can put together, and different kits can have different themes, different colors. It could be a texture kit, could be a color kit, could be a lighting kit, and they can subscribe to have something shipped to them to their home once a month, every 3 months. They can, you know, it can be a la carte, an on need basis, and they can scroll through a nice simple menu of spiffy kits that they can apply themselves, and something that will take what 5 minutes to a couple hours to set up.
That's ideal, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, the in-laws are coming over, not in-laws because he's probably single, but you get it, like holidays, for instance.
Yes.
You know, like themes, just general you know, for the people that aren't creative, that's such a great service idea. Spiffy kit, huh? Well, where do people learn about more about that? How do people get in touch with you, Sarah?
Well, people can go to my Wix site online, or they can download the Wix app, which is just a simpler version of it that has all my contact information, links to my Facebook page, phone number, email. They can go through all of that. They can also scroll through a portfolio of before and afters, take a look at some collages of the work I've done in my home and with others.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. That, you know, visuals say so much. So what is your website, love?
It's sarahjean@wix.com.
That's awesome. So sarajean at wix.com. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's awesome. Well, I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. And also, I assume that you have a strategy call option there. Maybe people can jump on your calendar, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. There is a link to my Acuity calendar.
Mm-hmm. Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That's so good. So I'm going to just throw something out there. What's something that your mother doesn't know about you?
I don't know if I'll ever tell.
Because you still don't want her to know. It's a good answer, Sarah. I like that. That's perfect. Do you happen to have a favorite quote that we can end the show with?
Yes, queen. Simple, but works every time.
That's your quote.
Got to get a little JVN in your life. One of my heroes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You're so adorable. You sound like you really love what you do. And I wish you all the best. I really appreciate you being on the show. It's been such a delight to interview you.
Thank you, Alexis. Same here. I'm so happy we got a chance to do this.
Really have. Thank you so much. Guys, thank you for listening. You can find the contact information for Sarah in the show notes. Sarah Jean, SarahJean at Wix.com, and then some. She'll be in your life for a long time once you open the door, guys, and you'll be glad for it. Thanks again. We'll see you guys next week on another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers.